Welcome back to Quiver the Green Arrow podcast. This is our fifth episode of season three. For the episode, The Secret Origin of Felicity Smoke. They got to give like the long, hard one to me.
Yeah.
But I guess it's not that hard to remember, but it is a bit of a tongue twister. It's a mouthful. I am one of your hosts, Michael Cohen.
And I'm your other host, Amanda Konkin.
It drives you nuts when I do that. When I talk about it before I even. I always see you like giving me a look like you didn't introduce
us. Intro.
Do my commentary first.
I was going to introduce you though, going, and he's Michael Cohen, who can't talk properly.
Wow, what a good episode!
Yeah.
Best episode of the season,
I think,
right?
It's the best episode of the season. It was one of my favorites ever.
Yeah.
I sort of, though, am biased. I knew it was going to be one of my favorites going into it because I just, like, love Felicity.
Yeah.
And I thought, and I know, and I trust these guys to do a great job with her character. It was just great. I'm
going to call shenanigans on Stephen Amell because last week he was all like, our 50th episode, best episode ever.
Yeah, no, shenanigans.
In all fairness, I don't think that I've read any of his posts from today.
I don't know if he may have
posted, last week I said it was the best episode, but this week is the best episode. If he has, then I will take that back and you guys can let me know. If he has not, then shenanigans. Because this is the best episode of the season. One of the best episodes of the series.
And in all fairness, though, it could be that like he has a very action set mind.
Yeah.
Where last week was very action packed. Yeah. This was an emotional and interesting and intellectually based episode.
Yeah.
And I really loved that. And there was one fight scene where he fought like animatronic guns.
He fought some robot guns.
That was the like almost extent of fighting.
It's so interesting because you're absolutely right. It is probably the weakest episode of the entire series when it comes to the action.
Yeah.
Not a lot happened. And I noticed that when we were watching it the first time we got into that final action sequence.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is not what I expect from an episode of Arrow when it comes to the action. But everything else about the episode was so on point that I didn't miss it.
Yeah, because at this point in the series,
if anything, it felt out of place like that
last sequence.
It was like you guys are just throwing this in so that you can say that you did three action sequences in an episode. If you can count training montage at the beginning and shooting three arrows
in
the middle of the episode to be action sequences. But, you know, like
You can if you want to, Arrow.
Tacked on where they were like, we have to do something.
Yeah, and I guess maybe that's the thing is that I love that by this point in the series, though, I love the characters on their own and like aside from the action that I don't just expect it to be an action episode, that I get so much out of it from these characters and this interesting story. So I'm really proud of them for this episode.
Yeah,
really
absolutely. Absolutely. I think they did a fantastic job. I think the fact that they're finally giving Felicity the opportunity to be showcased.
Yeah.
I think both with last week's episode of Flash and now this week's episode of Arrow, what you're seeing is the producers recognizing the talent that they have in Emily Beauregard and that she could be carrying her own show if she wanted to.
Yeah.
She is good enough and sort of the highs of that Flash episode of like her, I think probably the happiest we've ever seen her.
Yeah.
And then immediately into this episode of Arrow at I think her lowest point in the series, right?
Yeah.
Just to show like that range of an actor to kind of do both of those tones and to balance that from one week to the next.
Yeah,
like especially like with the shooting schedules that they do these shows on, it shows a lot of talent, and I think that they're recognizing and they're giving her an opportunity to flex those muscles, and I hope that what we're going to see is Felicity sort of getting more opportunities like that, getting more of her backstory and getting to flex that a little bit more, because she is often she has it like everybody on the team, not just her, but everybody on the team on Arrow, because there are so many cast members, they all have roles to fill, right? So they kind of get pigeonholed in those roles every now and then.
Can I tell you a secret?
Yeah.
I legitimately I legitimately toned out for the last 30 seconds reimagining the scene in Arrow where, yeah, like, she's brushing her teeth and the coffee, she brushed her teeth before coffee. And then my whole brain went through this cycle of, like, why they did that, because it was cuter for her to be brushing her teeth when he came to the door. And then I started, like, playing the whole sequence in my head and, like, forgiving it while you were talking. I'm really sorry. I'm sure whatever it was that you just said was great.
It was. It was fantastic. It was profound.
I'll listen to it when I listen to the podcast.
It was, like, the secret to life. And you would never had it. Just never a stressful day ever again in your life if you had been listening.
It just I've never done that before.
It's unfortunate.
I really like this episode, and I got really excited when, as you were talking and I stopped listening, I realized I got to rewatch the episode.
So you just answered the question, if a tree falls in the forest and Amanda's the only one around to hear it, does it make a sound? No, it doesn't, because Amanda was thinking about that cute scene where Felicity was brushing her teeth. All right. Okay.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. This is what people listen for. I mean, it's not what everybody listens for, because I think that there are a lot of comments on a lot of different podcast aggregator sites that point out just how much people think that we're obnoxious.
Yeah.
But the people who tune in every week, this is what they tune in for.
I'm sorry that my high-pitched voice does sometimes hurt your earbuds.
Yeah. The most recent episode, last week's episode, I did go through, like, I took that one comment to our, did we talk about it in the episode?
We talked about it, but we looked at comments and
somebody had, like, made a comment about, like, how you,
I constantly hurt their eardrums.
Yeah, so, like, I went in and I put the hard limiter on the episode, only because, like, I found that actually the recording was really quiet, so I went and I had to bump it up, and when you bump it up, you have to make sure that you put the limiter on, otherwise you will blow people's eardrums, or their speakers or whatever. So I did actually do that, and as I was doing it, I was thinking, like, well, it's one less thing for people to complain about. You know what? There are three types of podcast listeners, right? There are the podcast listeners who will love what you do no matter what you do.
Yeah.
And they're the ones, they're our favorite because they're the ones who send in the emails. They're the ones who participate in contests. They're the ones who buy t-shirts.
You guys are awesome.
And you're our favorite people, absolutely, so because we can do no wrong in your eyes. And I love living in a world where,
I hope we can do some wrong.
I love living in a world where there are at least a handful of people that think that we are perfect, right? Just the way that we are. Like, it's a very good ego boosting thing, not that I need that, but it's good. And then there are the people on the other end of the spectrum that no matter what we do, they're gonna find something to complain about, and they're gonna take the time to go on an internet forum and let people know what they think. So it's there's those two types of people. And then there's the other 99% of listeners who just listen to the podcast. Like, they listen to us, they listen to Green Arrow TV, they listen to every other podcast about Arrow, and other podcasts and whatever, and they really don't care if we're a little bit loud sometimes, or if we're a little bit obnoxious or rambly, but they just listen because they enjoy listening to podcasts, and they're just normal people with no strong opinions one way or another. They just kind of do their thing. So they're good too, but I like those people who think that we're the greatest no matter what we
do. Like 0.004% of that.
Yeah.
That's good. Thanks for listening. This is, you know, you ask for some Arrow, you get some unexpected other...
So far, we haven't talked about non-Arrow related stuff as much as we did last week.
It's true. Gosh,
I think last week we went on a few tangents, but
terrible tangents.
And I'm sure that there are some internet comments somewhere about how horrible that is. Let's jump back into the conversation about Felicity with an email from Ben Kritzman, and he says,
Ben,
who is Felicity Smoke? That's his subject line. Hey, Mike and Amanda, it's finally happened. We finally got to learn more about Felicity's backstory, and it turns out that she has a bimbo-esque mother who thankfully has the makings of a decent character and a pretty lackluster ex-boyfriend turn NSA stooge turn villain. So I like that, because he started it off with, I think, what we were talking about when we were watching it, which is, what we expected of her character, her mother's character from the previews was a very one-dimensional character.
Yeah.
And as always on this show, what we got was a very three-dimensional, very fleshed out person.
Yeah.
A real human being with thoughts and emotions.
Yeah.
So I like that he sort of, like, there was a...
The
bait and switch on there.
Yeah.
He continues, was I the only one underwhelmed by this episode? Don't get me wrong, I absolutely loved Emily Bett-Ricard. Her performance was great, and the Ollie Thea arc was fine, but everything else felt like the show spun its wheels for a week. Cooper being the villain was painfully obvious from the first flashback, even after Felicity claimed he was dead.
Yeah.
And what kind of group name is The Eye, anyway, or Brother Eye for that battle? Come on, Arrow writers. You're better than this. Brother Eye is actually a character from the comic books.
Yeah.
He is an artificial intelligence satellite connected to the OMAC project.
Cool.
Which we saw an Easter egg a couple weeks ago when Ray first hired Felicity.
Right.
They were going through the R&D, Consolidated R&D. They were going through the files. There was a drone, like a drone plane blueprint, and in the corner it said OMAC project. Which is a really big Justice League storyline, like big, really big DC comic storyline. They might be planting seeds for stuff in the future.
Yeah, that's
But that Brother Eye is actually a reference to that character. So that's where they came up with that.
Awesome.
So not the Arrow writers. That's just that Jack Kirby is actually who you're sass talking and Ben. We will not stand for that on Quiver the Green Arrow podcast because Jack Kirby is responsible for a lot of the greatest comic book characters and stories in the history of comics. So he continues, long email. This is my first email for season 3, and I really wish it was done under better circumstances. Fortunately, the stinger at the end, as well as the promo for next week, set up an interesting looking episode for Roy. I look forward to hearing both of your reactions as well as the full rewatch discussion, as always. Stay sharp and appropriately dressed, Benjamin. I think he's referring to maybe our
awesome scoff t-shirts.
So we're in disagreement with Ben on this one because I thought this is the best episode of the season so far. And like I said, one of the best episodes of the series.
And it's because we're judging it in things other than the explosion counts
per capita. Yeah, and I will, like, his points are valid, and if that's what he was watching for this week, then I can understand his disappointment. So I'm not discounting any of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying from our point of view, I don't mind taking a break from the Who Killed Sarah Lance story because
I thought it was much needed.
If it's not going to move forward every week, which like I feel like last week it didn't really move forward.
Yeah.
All we got was confirmation that Malcolm didn't do it.
Yeah.
And I feel like we already kind of knew that.
Yeah.
Right.
Because
that's a little bit too easy.
Yeah.
So, taking a break from it this week and telling a different story, having another character take the spotlight, I think was a much needed sort of breath of fresh air, and they made up for it in that last 30 seconds.
The whole episode
could have been about a water balloon fight, and then at the last 30 seconds they're like, oh, by the way, Roy is having nightmares about killing Sarah. It's like, yeah, you got me. That progressed the story more than the last three episodes.
Yeah.
Right? It was fantastic. It was incredible.
Yeah.
I think our initial reactions are, of course Roy didn't kill Sarah.
Yeah.
Somebody's
writers have kicked our butts before with that, but we don't think that I think that whoever did is trying to make Roy think he did.
Yeah.
And to make everybody turn on Roy. I think that our team is smarter than that and will know that and will figure it out. I think it makes for a good episode of television where Roy will feel guilty as crap for an episode.
Yeah.
But
good character development.
Like, it'll be a good character development episode for Roy. I think it'll be interesting. But I don't think... It's a disservice to that character if he killed Sarah.
Yeah.
Especially
if he
didn't
believe...
If he was used as a tool, then he didn't kill Sarah.
Yeah.
So the thing is, even if he did actually physically kill her, he didn't, because he would have been used as a tool in some capacity, and that's an interesting story as well. So either way, he didn't kill
Scar. The biggest thing that I'll say, and we'll talk about this more next week once we've actually seen the episode, but the biggest thing that I will say from that promo is that I love the fact that he's immediately going to someone and telling them.
Yeah,
and he was talking to Felicity in the promo, but it seemed like everybody was kind of like, they were trying to figure out what had happened.
Yeah.
Because once again, in true Arrow fashion, rather than go the serialized soap route of Roy shouldering this secret on his own and going off half-cocked and trying to solve this mystery when he's clearly out of his depth, he's going to do the rational human thing and say, I think I'm the one who did it.
Yeah.
Right? And like, and go and say, like either I did something horrible or something else is going on.
Yeah.
We need to figure this out. This is the first lead that we've had in 3 weeks. Like, let's figure this out, right? Which is one of the things that I love about this show is that the characters don't just like they don't extend story in order to sort of like just we have 3 points this season that we're gonna get to, and like as we've talked about many times, we've been right a lot. Our timelines were just off, like so we're like oh by the end of the season that's gonna happen. No, before the midseason break that we find out blah blah blah. They're always so quick because they've got so much story to tell. And an episode like this one where we pretty much get about as much of Felicity's backstory as we can handle right now in one episode, we got it all.
And
so much character development, so much interesting backstory and relationship stuff between great development of the relationship between Ray and Felicity, as well as
love that so much.
Learning about the relationship between Felicity and her mother and her father.
Yeah.
Right?
Who it seems like he will be interesting and important.
Seems like he's going to be important. Yeah.
Cool.
I think that we can expect to learn more about Felicity's dad at some point. And I don't know, maybe some of our more comic savvy listeners can clue us in.
Enlighten us.
Maybe there's a connection in the comics. I'm not aware of one. It sounds familiar, but I don't want to talk about something I don't know.
Right,
so, but if you guys know, let us know.
Yeah.
With that, I think we'll get into the episode.
Let's
watch
this episode again.
Cool.
I actually am really excited. It's still on my TiVo at home.
I did not queue it up.
And not TiVo. What is it that I have? DVR, that's what it is. Digital video recorder, or personal, whatever. PVR, personal PVR. Video recorder.
PVR, I think, is the preferred.
I have that. That's the general term.
Yeah.
So I'm going to watch it again.
Okay. And here we go with the beginning of the episode. His name's Oliver Queen, in case you haven't been paying attention.
Oh, no flashbacks to, that was 5 years ago because of Felicity. That's smart. I just got it. Mm-hmm. That they did the flashbacks that were Felicity's this year instead of this time instead of Ollie's.
Yeah.
Gosh, I can't believe I missed that it was 5 years ago when he was doing his stuff. There was some Laurel development this episode.
There was. Yeah. Even though, again, a lot of it was sort of subtext development. I like that they gave us the reminder of that moment in the episode about Thea, where she mentions that Roy looks like he hasn't slept in a while.
Right.
Because it becomes very important by the end of the episode.
Look at these collie sticks.
This opening is so fantastic.
Because all these fights. We
were watching it, and it was like, oh, cool, the collie sticks are back.
Yeah, and then we like...
And then we go into the boxing, and it's like, oh, that's cool.
And then it just escalates when you're like, what? And then Thea and Merlin, and it just is so...
We get the intercut sort of.
I forgive it for not having. And this is they're just putting in these little buttons about Roy, right? As we go through, and I remember you pointed out at the beginning where you're like, "That's something we should pay attention to that because we glossed over it last week." And so this is interesting that they've all got things that they're dealing with and they're fighting.
Yeah, I like Ted. I like the actor. Yeah, I like Wildcat. He's shaping up to be really interesting.
And then the normal people mourning is Felicity.
It is so great how they set up and they set our expectations.
Oh, it's just
and then they
so
just
good.
Like trash them with Felicity doing her sit-ups.
Oh, it's just so great.
Especially because I feel like this is the setup for the forgive this pun, terrible pun, but the punchline at the end of the episode when she takes out the head of Brother Eye.
Yeah. And here's Ray. So Ray's come to her house as she's brushing her teeth, super cute. With his ideas. He just has all these ideas and he bounces them off of Felicity, and I love that.
And he does it. I love his unbridled enthusiasm about his own genius.
Yeah.
Where like he doesn't care that it's like it's apparently like 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's just like walking into
and he's
her
like,
house.
I'm
just
brilliant.
Like, I'm so smart, I'm gonna do this. And his awesome philanthropy and
he's just
I love
so
his character
great.
It's so good,
so great, and that Felicity really kind of grounds him because she's smart, and I think that's what he really likes is that she gets it and she doesn't let him be like she doesn't look at him and go wow you're smart right, but she sort
and he
of
doesn't
like,
have to explain
he doesn't have to explain, he just gets
he's
to be, and I really like that. It's great. And then her mom comes to the door and
his reaction is so priceless. Oh, Brandon Routh is the best.
He just really is.
He's such a great addition to this cast.
This is a very good looking actress, though, by the way. Whoever's playing Felicity's mom is pulling that dress off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I love the note about the mom not being able to text message. It's kind of cute.
Yeah.
Right? It's just super cute.
Well, and it establishes right off the bat that she's like, she's
not
technology illiterate.
Yeah, it's great. And then her awe at the people in Felicity's life is kind of cool.
The line later on where she's like, how many millionaires do you know?
Oh, it's great.
I was really waiting for her to correct, like for Felicity to correct her mom and be like, well, former millionaire.
Yeah. I love the
former
squash
billionaire,
moment.
Actually, or something like that.
This is super, I love that this plays in, this whole episode is really well written.
Yeah.
That this watch didn't seem like, you know how sometimes they insert something at the beginning, you're like, well, obviously that's going to become important later. But you didn't expect this watch because it just seems the character of this mom is so well developed in 30 seconds that you don't think that this watch is going to become important later. It's just a thing that she did.
And you like, also, and also like Ray's character, it's just, you think he's just being his quirky, generous self, right?
Yeah.
Like Ray's just being like, you know what? You like it so much, it's yours, right?
Yeah.
Like that sort of.
And so it
like
does one out of place for either of those characters, which makes it so perfect as a plot point.
Yeah.
Because when you have to shove plot points into character, it doesn't work as well.
Yeah.
Oh,
and let's talk about the 5 years ago, the clearly big fan of Evanescence, Amy Lee version of Felicity Smoke. I don't know.
Yeah.
5 years ago, I don't think that Evanescence was still cool, but.
I was confused by those posts coming up, so there were people were posting pictures of Felicity like that.
Oh, yeah.
And
you didn't put it together.
I thought that it was Evanescence, that Evanescence was playing Felicity in the past. Like, I don't know. I was confused. I didn't look into it, because I didn't look into it a lot until, like, right before I watched the episode. But anyways, this is cool. So Felicity has created this virus that she's then given to her boyfriend, and he is going to now actually hack in and get rid of a bunch of people's student debt. Because he thinks that he's doing a really good thing for the
world.
Where
was this guy 5 years ago for me?
Yeah. anyways, super illegal. And that's what Felicity's saying, that that's not okay. Luckily, they're in his dorm room, and she pulls the plug, right? So he hopefully won't get in trouble for that. Or so I totally thought he wouldn't get in trouble for it, but I guess there wouldn't have been a story then, if that was the thing. But anyways, she obviously, that's not what she intended the virus to be for, right?
Yeah.
So she just thought it was cool that she wants to be a great IT person, or IT person. She wants to be great at computers, and that's, like, was the, in itself. Oh my gosh, can we just talk about this loft for a moment? Thea's loft. That obviously is going to become Ollie's house as well.
Yeah.
Because where has he been living, seriously?
Now, is that, that looks like it's a real loft to me. Like, that looks like it's a real place, because out that window does not look like
scale one of those really good
set sets or anything like that.
Okay, we'll have to look out the window again, because if they're going to use this, though, it should be a set, not an apartment that they're constantly filming in. Mind you, it is very large.
I think with those windows, you can't get away. You couldn't get away with it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it would look really fake.
That's a real place.
It's
probably, unless the set designer just needs to get super props for their awesome stuff. I think it might not last long, because we know at the end that Merlin's watching from across the street, so maybe it is a real place. Oh, yeah, no, that's definitely real. You can see why would they put a Vancouver, like, I'm pretty sure that's like a Vancouver building in the background or something.
You know what? No, I might be taking it back because that looked a little bit like an Empire State Building.
It did kind of, right?
We don't really have one.
Maybe. I don't know. Anyways.
So maybe it is.
We'll stop talking about where it is. And we've completely talked over all the stuff that Thea obviously has a bunch of money now from Merlin. And she's his only heir now that he's dead.
Yeah.
And Ollie's saying that that's not okay. And Thea's kind of like, I'm going to take the money so you can suck it, basically. And then walks away.
And the idea here that Oliver has said to her, like, no more secrets.
Yeah.
And she is choosing to keep
all these secrets.
These very big secrets. And almost, like, very, very kind of, like, brazenly. Like,
yeah.
Like
it's interesting.
And
I don't understand,
like,
her character.
With no guilt.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering just how much Merlin has gotten in her head.
Yeah,
and
like
it's motivating her thoughts.
And of course, the power has been going out for the last little bit. And Diggle walking around the streets with baby, super cute baby. And all the lights are going out, right? So what's going on? It's total darkness. I totally just realized that they couldn't make it like that dark if it was actually outside. Probably be hard. Definitely a set. Let's say it's definitely a set. This is also definitely a set where these fire hydrants in this car. Is this the old Smallville lot, actually?
No, because that's all been torn down. This is more than likely down on Marine.
Cool.
It was the Watchmen set.
Right.
And then Supernatural used it a lot one season.
Yeah.
And,
nice. So it's cool.
That's what it looks like.
And then, of course, we find out why it's blackness or blackout in the city. And it is this, what is it? Brother Eye?
Brother Eye.
There's a lot of brothers in this show. Anyways, hacking into the system and everybody... Oh, Big Belly Burger. They're eating Big Belly Burger. Felicity and her mom. But, so they're all...
Remember Diggle's, brother's wife turned girlfriend?
Yeah.
That just disappeared after season one?
Yeah. Anyways, so Brother Aya said, I can control your power and your lives, and turns on the power all back on. So we understand that there's going to be a tech problem this week. So...
And our first commercial break. Into a commercial break.
Yeah, we understand that there's... So it is a different villain, right? How do you fight a technologically-based villain? Well, you use Felicity Smoke, which I think is really great, right? There's nobody really to, like, shoot arrows at. You sort of do near the end, but, like, really, it's a larger problem than that.
Well, if you're going to do a Felicity flashback episode, the bad guy has to be a Felicity bad guy, right?
Yeah,
like, the whole episode is really about her, because even the rogue that we're introduced to is her rogue. It's her bad guy.
Yeah.
Her supervillain, so...
And, I mean, the great thing is that it's sort of, like, her that created the villain.
Yeah. So we're back into the episode in Verdant.
Where Felicity's bringing her mom to work, basically.
I love this, like, I'm not really dressed for a nightclub. And she's like, really?
But that's, like, that's a hard... she's totally dressed for a nightclub.
Yeah.
I guess that's the joke.
I should explain that to you guys.
Anyway, so she's telling her mom to sort of stay up in Verdant. I don't know why she would bring her mom anyways, like, keep her mom at home, but it's so that she can be introduced
this
to
is why.
Ollie. And
I love that everybody's reaction is like, this is
your mom.
My mom, and everybody's reaction is, Mom. Ray, Oliver, and Diggle all say it.
Yeah.
I think that it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Some good comedic writing.
And then John Diggle introduces himself with that sort of great handshake. And his baby. And I love that the mom really likes the baby. What does she call him?
She calls him... Who's this little nugget? That's adorable.
Yeah.
And my favorite part of the episode is coming up.
Oh, yeah.
I love this moment. Where he's like, you can't take a baby down there. I feel like they missed a joke here. He says, like, I don't feel comfortable. I think that it should have been something about, like, you really shouldn't have a baby around all those pointy objects. Or something about it, like, not being baby-proof or something like that. Because I feel like that was... I just love how uncomfortable Oliver is with the idea of taking...
Bringing a baby into the aerocave. But, it's a convenient that Sarah and then Felicity's mom can hang out. Sarah and Donna together. Anyways, so now they're all hacking to figure out what's going on. And Laurel at her dad's precinct, And this is sort of an interesting power thing that happens, that he says that she now is the acting district attorney because the actual district attorney is, like, out for a little bit. Like, how does she not know that?
It's I feel like that's something that maybe her boss should have told her before they left.
It's super weird.
Yeah.
And I think that they're really using that to play in later.
Oh, yeah. It's just for that.
Right? It's for some stuff that'll happen later. Yeah. Anyways, I love that this Felicity talking to her mom on the phone in the flashback where she is asking if she wants a fake ID. I just think it's hilarious. This is the library. This is like our Coliseum library downtown.
Just noticed this Easter egg, but Starro is very clearly on
his shirt.
On his t-shirt. Oh. And also looking at Starro and Brother Eye have a very similar visual aesthetic.
Oh,
of sort of that central eye.
Cool.
So it's
very,
I think they're connecting some dots there.
How cute is this guy? I want to IMDb him. What is he from? How old is he? Is that weird for me to say?
A little bit.
How old is he supposed to be in this? I want. I'll find out. Anyways, him getting arrested. So him saying, "I'm not going to get arrested. They're not going to trace it back to me," and then promptly being arrested. So. That's a thing that happened to you. What's his name?
In the show?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Brother Eye. Let's call him Brother Eye.
Oh, well, yeah, he's Brother Eye.
Yeah, but I don't know what his name is.
I don't remember the character's name.
Anyway, so now we have Brother Eye. We're back in the future again, or in the present, I guess. And Felicity's listening to it, and now he says that he's going to take out all the bank accounts. So that's fun. And all the money will be gone.
Yeah, all as we find out later in this effort to get more money, I guess.
I don't know. That was a really sad. Like, I feel like they could have done some better things with that motivation. But anyways, so here we're at the precinct, and Laurel's there, and her dad's out. So she then gives the order to send in a SWAT team or a crisis team, I guess, to this bank riot that's breaking out. Right, the ESU. I don't know what that actually is. But, and you sort of know that it's not a good thing the moment that she talks about it. And just, like, afterwards, they mention that that probably wasn't a really good idea for Laurel to do. So it, sort of backfires. All these people are really angry, as you would be. Why don't they just use their online banking? Silly.
Well, I think that they're reacting irrationally to a very difficult circumstance. You have to remember what the people of Starling City have been through in the last 2 years.
Oh, his name is Cooper Sheldon. Like Sheldon Cooper. This is a shout out to the Big Bang Theory. I totally forgot about that. I read that.
Oh.
That the writers of this, it's a shout out to the Big Bang Theory that they named him Cooper Sheldon, and because Sheldon Cooper is the name of the guy out of Big Bang Theory. Don't know what I think about that.
I'm not a big fan of that choice.
But that's his name, Cooper.
So this is our second action sequence in the episode.
Just like breaking up a riot.
Yeah.
Oh, score, he's my age, 1986. What?
I'm not sure why that's relevant, Amanda.
Anyways. So here we have the reveal that Felicity wrote the virus in the very melodramatic fashion. Where she doesn't think she can stop it because she wrote it. Although,
cut to commercial.
I would say that, wouldn't you be more able to stop something if you wrote it? Because you would know what you could actually stop. I don't know.
I don't know, because I'm not a computer programmer.
No.
I don't want to. I'll consult some of my coworkers about that, and I'll report back next week. I'll probably just not do that.
You work with computer programmers?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't understand. There's nothing to talk about right now because we're not back in it.
Because it's in the middle of a commercial break. Well, we could talk about how pretty Sam and Dean are in that Supernatural commercial.
We could. But
we're back in the episode now. So.
And Verdant looking very green and Felicity looking very stressed out. Actually, Felicity's getting very stressed in this. She's never been this stressed out, really.
Yeah.
She gets kind of stressed out, but
That's what I said. I think she's at like her lowest point.
I love that she talks about Cronuts. Her one like quippy thing. She doesn't quip a lot in this episode, yeah. But she does talk about Cronuts.
I like at the end of the episode. We'll talk about it when we get there as well. But when she makes a quip at the end of the episode, and Oliver smiles, you know, like kind of laughs to himself because it's the moment where he realizes, like, she's good. She's like, fine. I got her back. She's
Which is good. It does sort of say
because one of the great things, we talked about subtext a lot last week, I think. Oliver doesn't have a lot to say in this episode.
Yeah.
He's really a secondary character to a lot of other things that are going on. Mm-hmm. But the great thing about Stephen Amell is that even when he doesn't have a lot of lines of dialogue, as long as you give him those reverse, like the back and forth shots.
Yeah.
As long as he gets 3 seconds to give you a reaction, you know what he's thinking.
Yeah,
you know exactly where he's at. So
even
if every once in a while a line of dialogue that's very technical comes out a little bit wooden, like coming up when he delivers the line about the
virus thing?
It's a reverse algorithm. it's
hilarious.
Whoa, that is not your strong suit, Steve.
It's funny.
His performance is always there, and that's the important thing.
I love this sort of that he's talking about how Thea's here, and she's like, we've got a small problem. Not necessarily small, but short.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny. Anyways, and then we get this flashback to Felicity. So she says that her boyfriend couldn't have done it, and then this scene is the one that's make us, like, do we think that he's still in jail and she loves him, or something? Like, what is it that's going on? But this is a very emotional scene, actually, for what it is. So you go, so what's his name? This guy's name is Nolan Gerald Funk. So you go, Nolan, who's also in Glee and some stuff. And it's sort of an interesting, right, where we find out that he told them that he wrote the virus, right? So he's totally covering for her. And then, of course, as soon as he was revealed, I know that you said, well, that's what they did. They took him and wanted him then, because it was such a great virus, to program for them, right, for the NSA. Yeah. So, it's...
Yeah, we knew some shady government agency was behind it. I thought for a minute that maybe we would find out that Argus had something to do with it, right?
Yeah,
that
cool,
because that seems to be a thread running through
a lot of
this
stuff.
Season, is that, like, Argus is a little bit more shady than we know, right?
Yeah, which is very interesting. And so we have Lance back here to yell at Laurel, which is great, because he really does care about her, and there's this really interesting thing that I hadn't really been seeing, I guess really paying enough attention to, is how Laurel is struggling, and this is her outlet, right? She has an addictive personality, and I think that's an interesting thing they constantly tie on to, and that Lance is always there, and he does recognize this in her, which I think is great.
Well, because it's traits that he passed on, right? Like, so he does recognize the behavior in her, and he's watched other people go down this path, right? Because he's talked a lot about being a recovering alcoholic and seeing people in meetings and stuff like that and hearing their stories. So I think he sees the warning signs better than anybody else, because he is the it's him and Merlin. They're the only two elder estates people remaining on the show, right? That get to have a little bit of perspective. Everybody else is relatively young. So.
I love that Ollie sort of tried to cover for the door being locked to the cave. I don't understand why they didn't just pretend. Why doesn't he put a bookshelf over it or something? Sure. I don't know. It's like, oh, there's just a door. You should never go down there. And she's gonna go I should never go down there.
I like that she ran the club for a whole year and never went. No, she went down there once, didn't she?
I don't know.
And and
oh, they'd
cleaned
it out or something.
And they covered it all.
So interesting. And so they have a conversation in
the... Or no, it wasn't her. I think that was the episode where Lance...
Oh, right, Detective Lance.
That was season one.
Yeah, wow, that was like season one. Oh, it's been around for a long time, that Arrowcade.
Yeah, so we're basically, this is a little bit more of this idea that... the thing I find interesting here, I talked about it a little bit before, was that Thea is making it out like Ollie is the bad guy.
Yeah.
And it's like, look, I'm trying to meet you halfway here.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, no, you're not. You're manipulating.
Yeah, you are. It's
like you're flat out lying.
Took it the other way around. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's almost like she's keeping him.
Yeah.
Off guard.
Yeah.
By preying on his guilt.
Yeah.
Right.
That was a cool reflection in the, there's the, you have failed the city was one of the first time we've done that. So Myron, we didn't actually talk about this, so Felicity's boyfriend's roommate that was there is named Myron, and that's who these guys have now come after, and are accusing of the cyber attack.
I just need to say how great this actor was, as well as the costume department, because they made him look way younger and dorkier in the first scene.
Yeah, and way older.
And now he looks like older and like together.
Yeah.
And actually kinda handsome. But before, when you saw him, it was like, well, he's kind of a nerd, right? And now it's like, oh, seems like a handsome together guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He's doing pretty well for himself. Cool. And that's all with, like, I think a little bit of makeup, and I think they might have given him a few zits and whatever in the first scene.
They did a good job. It's awesome.
Yeah.
We were just kids playing with matches. I do kind of like that metaphor that he says there. And then comes back, so he didn't do it, right? I love that Roy's just, like, wearing his I don't know. He's great. His costume is so good. Oh, and he's so tired. Look at that.
Yeah, they're just sewing those seats. Oh, I love this show.
Anyways, so Ollie getting mad that she's covering for her ex-boyfriend or whatever.
Yeah.
And then her going in to explain that actually, no, he went to prison and Ollie's pushing. And she reveals that he's dead. So it was good that Ollie obviously is going after the right guy, as we know in the end.
Yeah.
But since they didn't go back to show it as a flashback, you sort of knew that there was something not quite right about that. That would, like, the finding out he's dead or things like that. But anyway, so she needs a minute. So she, of course, goes to Queen Consolidated. And Roy's there again. I love it. There's, like, the triple, like, appearance of Roy in this episode.
Ray.
Damn it.
Yeah, people really hate that you
Roy,
do that.
Sorry.
I just want to point out that we shouldn't have been as surprised by Felicity's younger appearance as we are. Because she's always had these little hints at like, sort of an edgier side to her character with, like, the piercings and stuff like that.
I didn't even notice that before, that she's got, like, a...
She's always had those, right?
Yeah,
like, they've always kind of been there. And it's, like, even though she's got, like, this very together, professional look...
Yeah, there is, like, a little bit more to it.
There's this little tiny bit behind it that's kind of behind the surface. So I like that they actually...
did go back and show.
Yeah, I think that the writers may have had this sort of a past in mind for her all
it's
along.
Kinda cool. I love this that the mom. So the mom comes in and interrupts this, and I'm very upset because Ray and her were going to have a really awesome conversation if she decided to talk about it. I think they're waiting for that for, like, another time. But I think he's really respectful. He's been just so great with her. And I think the thing that I think with Ray is I think he knows that she knows the arrow. Like, I think there's, like, I think he totally...
I think it's one of the reasons why he hired
her. It's totally, and he knows that she's important. And the reason that I'm going to forgive him for using her is because he knows, like, he's respecting her while he does it. So that's the thing that I really like.
I'm going to say it right now. I think that Ray knows that Oliver is
the
arrow.
Yeah,
and I think the reason why he's come to Starling City is, A, to help.
Yeah,
and like be to be a part of it.
Yeah, right?
Like,
yeah,
he wants in
because you can't just, like, make that right. Yeah. Like, and he's an inventor and all these things, but you can't really, like.
Yeah, so I think, like, he sees this opportunity to do something good, and he wants in.
Yeah, it's great. Right? Oh yeah, because he is this big philanthropist. Anyways, one of the greatest scenes in this episode is this the scene between Felicity and her mom, where she is talking about how she is a disappointment to her mom. Because she doesn't look like her or want to sort of be like her. And it's this great moment where this actress that came out of nowhere, what's it, Charlotte Ross, I think her name was? I forgot what it was. Does this beautiful job of really eliciting my heartstrings. I did cry during this scene, just full disclosure. I thought it was very emotional.
It got me. It was an emotional... It didn't get me as much as it got you. But
Charlotte Ross is her name. I think she does a great moment where she is just a person. She's a cocktail waitress, but she has these depths and feelings and emotions and these layers. And she's a mom. She's a good mom. It's not as if Felicity is, like, embarrassed of her mom. Because she's not. She's been introducing her to things. She just doesn't get... She doesn't think she has anything in common with her mom that she's a disappointment. So I think that's a really interesting layer, right? It would be really easy if her mom was a complete idiot that she didn't, like or was embarrassed of, but that's not, that's a one-dimensional thing. This is a multi-dimensional relationship, and I think it's so great.
Well, and for Felicity to come to the realization towards the end of the episode that she took her mother for granted, and that, because I think the comment later, where she's, when they've been captured, and she says the stuff about being a cocktail waitress working 60 hours a week in order to take care of her daughter. It's like, she never really thought of it that way. She didn't, like, she wasn't paying attention to that part. Just fast forwarding through some commercials. So I like, she does have this realization and then a reconciliation towards the end of the episode, which wouldn't have been able to happen if not for that element of it, that her mother is a three-dimensional character.
Which is super great.
And we're back into the episode.
Again, it always opens on Verdant. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Anyways, so, of course, we have Diggle, Ollie, and... I was Colton Haynes.
Roy.
Because I can't say his name now because I'm freaking out about it.
Roy and Ray.
Yeah. Are standing around the computer not really knowing what to do.
What you need to do is you need to just put... You need to print out pictures of Brandon Routh and Colton Haynes.
And before I go to bed, go...
And just Ray, look at
Ray,
them.
Roy,
and just,
Roy, yeah, Ray, yeah. Ray, Roy, Roy. Oh, I would have the best dreams.
Oh.
Anyways.
I like that you're the one who's very lecherous on this podcast, because the CW show, I think that more often than not, guys who watch CW shows have opportunities to be like, well, check out that chick, right? But no, you represent the female CW audience very well, I think.
All of their shows are made specifically for my demographic.
Yeah.
I am a well-educated person. It might not come across in this podcast. My brain thinks about other things outside of the immediate, you know, whatever. But
it's fine. You're allowed to feel that way.
I'm allowed to focus on...
Those are totally valid feelings towards towards Colton Haynes and Brandon Routh.
It's great. Oh, the more I think about it, the more... Sorry.
Anyways, we totally talked over a whole scene.
Where Felicity needed a break. So she left.
Yeah.
And went back to her house. So, yeah, Ollie was like, you just need an hour to deal with stuff. You can't do stuff. But I think this is interesting that Felicity said that her hair matches her mom's and she dyes it. I think that's kind of funny. Again, all little things that they're nodding to that they've mentioned before. I really like this. But that we get this reveal from the mom here that she got a free plane ticket. Which I think is cool. And it's the moment that Felicity really... It's
too little too late, though.
Too little too late. I know. It's so sad. And they didn't, like, look into it. Anyways, so she get a free first class round trip to Starling City, which is very convenient that it's to Starling City. Anyways, and of course, Felicity knows that something's wrong right away. I don't understand why she's packing her clothes. When did she unpack them? She's wearing the same dress she wore when she got there.
Yeah.
Anyways, now they're getting kidnapped. So that's the thing that's happening. And we don't know why, and we don't know who these people are, although we assume it probably has something to do with the brother I... And then we realize that the only other person linked to Brother Eye is, of course, her boyfriend. They could have thrown in another third person in there to make it, like, to make us actually think of somebody else. That is the one, my one big thing.
Well, for a second, we had that moment of, like, could it,
it could, be connected we, to we her actually father? Totally, we did think maybe it could be her father. But we totally thought, we're like, nah, it's obviously not the boyfriend, because that's what they want us to think. It's going to be the other guy. And then it actually was the boyfriend. So it's one of those times that, like, the show made us think too far ahead, and then we doubt, like...
It was a triple take. Yeah.
Anyways. And so the reveal that it is Cooper Sheldon, Selden, Cooper Selden, not to be confused with Sheldon Cooper.
Is Selden a real last name? I feel like that's not a real last name. I apologize to anybody with that last name, but I just feel like that's...
I don't think it's right. Did we see the mayor in any of this episode? Because she's totally credited as one of the characters on here. And I don't remember seeing the mayor at all. But anyways, so that's the thing. So maybe... There is... Oh, my gosh.
Wait, who is the mayor?
Who's the mayor? Mayor is someone called Christina Fox. She plays Mayor Cecilia Castle. That is who's credited. In the
did we ever like? No, did they ever state that in an episode? Because if you recall, the mayoral race was between Moira and Brother Blood.
Yeah,
and both of them are dead. So
yeah. Interesting. The glass banging dude is credited in this. The guy that was smashing the glass.
Smashing the glass.
That's funny. There's like a lot of... Anyways, we're back in the Felicity saying that he died, and him obviously saying that he didn't. It was in a setup.
They've slicked back his hair so that although he is still very dashing and handsome, he's now much more menacing.
Yeah.
Much more evil.
And they made him totally villain. Like, the one thing that really does bother me is that he just went from being what seemed like a well-rounded, okay person to, like, full psycho.
I think he seemed earlier, like, in the flashback stuff, like he was a little bit, if it went unchecked, like, if
right,
that ego
fair
went
enough.
Unchecked,
that's
that
true.
Bad things could happen.
That's true. So
and,
that,
like,
know.
Where the two of them were going, like, whoa,
fussy.
That's illegal, we shouldn't be doing
right,
that.
Right, he would have just
like, totally it's one
gone.
Thing to break in, it's another thing to
right.
start screwing
yeah.
with stuff. And for him to be like, no, this is what we're doing,
yeah.
right? Like, and sort of imposing that on
yeah,
them.
That's true.
To the point where she had to yank the cord from the wall, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So I think he's a character that just needed a nudge. And
oh, it's because the mayor's referenced here that the mayor's reached out to
okay.
the treasury. Interesting. Anyways.
So I think a lot can happen in 5 years. That is basically
yeah.
what we have come to understand from this show.
Yeah, yeah,
is that you can be totally transformed from
yeah.
one thing to another in the course of 5 years.
Yeah.
And and I think that the NSA has turned him into this, right?
Yeah.
They've and so when they cut him loose and he didn't have anything, he doesn't exist anymore. What do you do?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially if you're sort of a borderline personality type individual, anyways, right?
Yeah. I don't know. So this is an interesting thing that he did bring her mom because he doesn't know who she is now.
Yeah.
Like, that's interesting that he didn't take anybody from her current life. He took her mother.
Yeah.
Just sort of an interesting thing. Because he is from her past, and her mom
yeah.
is part of her past.
Yeah.
So I think it's fascinating that it's kind of
that's
a
who
cool
he chose
to,
for leverage.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
Anyways, so Ollie, them all now again standing around the computer going, where's Felicity? It's been
yeah.
an hour.
I love it when Felicity's not around and they're all just kind of standing looking
yeah.
at the computer. Like,
they've done that twice now in this
yeah.
episode.
Well, and last week that's what they did the whole episode.
Yeah.
Right?
And her phone gets smashed. She's going to have to get a new Windows phone next week. Oh, dear.
It would be a great excuse for them to be like, check out my brand new Samsung blah, blah, blah.
Yes. Anyways, sorry. We forgive you for all the Windows advertising sometimes.
Well, I absolutely forgive it because that's how they pay for these shows.
Yeah, it's true.
So,
it's true.
Those breaking phones like that doesn't come cheap.
That's fair. Anyway, so Felicity hacking into this treasury, so he's asked her to hack into the treasury and redirect the car,
yeah.
and her being able to do it super fast, and him being kind of puzzled at this, going, wow, you are really good. The thing that we're getting from Felicity, the more that we go through, is that she is really good, and it's
yeah.
something that we didn't really get in the first season, and they really have amped that up in small ways. Like,
Yeah, I think it's a thing that's been revealed through Ray's character that, like, Oliver was really underutilizing
yeah,
her
yeah.
and doesn't understand the asset that he has. Like,
yeah.
I think that, not to say that he doesn't appreciate her,
yeah.
but that he doesn't comprehend it because,
like,
he doesn't have
yeah.
the capacity.
To, like, understand how smart
yeah.
she is, yeah, which is just great. And so here this watch is coming in handy again.
Yeah.
So they've left her at this computer, smartly, that doesn't have internet access outside the treasury, however that works. But anyways, she's now connecting to the Wi-Fi on the watch, because it's a smart watch, not to be confused with a smartphone, but anyways. And then all of these thugs, what he needs, 5 thugs, and him to take down these armored cars. So they're going to do that, and he goes back inside, which I guess is the right thing. I guess he is going to go back and check on her to make sure she's not doing anything nefarious,
yeah.
which, you know, she is. So that's the thing. And we don't really see what it is she did exactly, but I saw SMS, so I think she sent a text to him or something, to Ollie.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, with the GPS location.
Oh, nice. Okay. And so, what is the Gru? Did he just say that I'd become the Gru? Anyways. But this mom is so great. So this smartness and this strength that Felicity has, she says she gets from her mom later in the episode. You really see it here. This idea that her mom is handcuffed to a chair and is saying, don't you dare point a gun at my daughter for no, like, she can't do anything about it. But it's just this great thing where she is talking, she knows exactly who she is, but she says, but she's threatening him basically without actually threatening him, sort of talking down to him and saying, you won't be able to do anything.
Yeah.
And that gives him enough time, or her enough, or Ollie enough time to come and point an arrow at him. So, there you go.
It's quick. They must not have been far away.
Yeah. And so they have, obviously, these protections against the arrow, which are automatic weapons that are motion censored. I didn't really get that, but whatever. They didn't actually get, like, I don't understand how they got triggered. Was it like you can't step outside, you can't step outside this particular circle that they're in? Because I think the thugs were out there before. Anyways, so the car drivers realize that something is wrong as they come up and start getting fired at. And the one action scene in this whole episode commences. Yeah.
This is pretty great, though. The guy's got the rocket launcher. And I was like, oh, wow, they really went all out this episode. This is going to be some great pyrotechnics.
And then
Roy just, like, pins it to the launcher.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
Right. This is not getting blown up. It's good. Oh, so there's always producers talk about this all the time about how sometimes your budget runs out.
Yeah.
Like if you want to do something really big for the end, you have to find ways to make episodes in the middle that don't cost as much.
Yeah.
And this is, I would argue,
this is that episode.
This is that episode.
Although they did finally spring for a mask for Daniel.
That is true.
It's a little lackluster because it is just a straight up balaclava.
But at least it's a mask.
Yeah.
And this is a great moment where Felicity's got this gun pointed at her head and she just grabs the gun. That's all she was waiting for. And so Ollie doesn't actually have to shoot him. I love that so much. That really, he's there, and she wouldn't have been able to escape had he not come and sort of, like...
she needed the distraction.
She did need the distraction. But in the end, she does save herself, kind of, and I love that.
Yeah.
And I love that it's just, like, a thing, that it's okay, and she's fine, and that's just great. It's so...
Yeah.
This episode is so good in how it deals with this character. I just really love it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't even know what else to say. I just think that they did, if I was to watch an Origin of Felicity Smoke episode, this would be the one that this is what I want.
Yeah.
So they gave me what I wanted. And now we're back in the arrow cave with...
Well, we were talking about it a little bit before we started recording about, like, Lois Lane, and that Lois, on the surface, can be pinned as a damsel in distress.
Yeah.
But really, when you examine her character, she's a very strong female character.
Yeah.
Because she willingly goes into those situations, and more often than not nowadays, she gets herself out before Superman even shows up.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Or Superman does something, and that's the opportunity that she needed.
Yeah.
And so Felicity is very much in that vein. And there's that moment.
Where she says, it sounds awkward no matter how you say it. It's kind of funny.
But that's that moment where he realizes that... Felicity's back.
Yeah,
she's good. Like she's back.
And this is see how she dodged that question? Look at his face. So he did say knows how I feel about her, which is interesting. I am starting. Okay, so I know I'm a hater on Felicity, but that moment made me not hate them so much because the power has shifted in a way that I'm okay with. Right where Ollie knows that he messed up.
Yeah,
and that Felicity's not having it, and I love that. I really do like that moment where I'm saying that, like, I now eventually would be open to the possibility of them together if we do start to realize that it needs to be an equal relationship, because it wasn't before and it hasn't been now, but we could move towards that, so that would be interesting. Anyways, and then Felicity changes into her...
Look how much younger he is. They absolutely put, like, stuff on his face.
So that he looks younger, Myron?
Yeah, like, they gave him a little bit, like
I don't know what it is.
Like, acne or...
I'm sure
that
made him look not so good.
Yeah.
His face, what make him look older. He does. It could be also the lighting there. Like, the lighting's really dark in the other one. It's good. It's a team effort on Arrow.
As I said at the beginning of the episode, I'm really starting to like Ted as a character. And it's pretty great because, like, he's making an impact because he's only had, like, 4 scenes.
Yeah, something like that.
So far, but like, what we've gotten,
he's
a very strong character, and I like this actor.
Yeah, and so Laurel, her dad said, you need to talk to somebody, and she's like, I can't talk to you. And so she goes here, and she's talking to Ted, and this is great. Where he's like, this is what I need. You needed to tell me that because now I can train you properly.
Yeah. I like what he said. Like, that's you're trying to hit your sister's killer, and that's a target you'll never hit.
Right.
Right? Like, I love the way that you... And then we get the very self-referential meta.
Red or black.
Definitely black.
Which is, sure.
I'll because she's going to be Black Canary, you guys.
Pause. Look at this midriff shirt again.
There's just a pile. There's just a pile of lower halves of Thea's shirt somewhere.
Anyways, this is the popcorn like picture from I think Facebook that Steven posted, where he brings her popcorn. Kind of cute. I feel like the picture was inversed. Oh no, it was. Is it this one? I don't know. Anyways, he calls her Speedy again. So we're getting this labeling from the comic books that I don't think is necessarily accurate. But whatever. I'll leave that alone. Anyways, so here's where we get her offer her apartment to Ollie, saying that they can become a family a little bit more. I think it's interesting that, I guess, like, her lying to him so much has made her okay with him lying to her or something. I really don't understand her. Like, why she was so angry that she left, that he was lying to her, and then she's just doing the exact same thing.
I love this, that when she gets the club off the ground, she'll donate the rest of Merlin's money to an earthquake relief.
Yeah, so funny.
That's pretty good. It's clever.
It's great. And the most cryptic scene in the whole episode that we cannot read is this. So they're at the window, and
there needs to be a caption here of like Merlin stares.
Indifferently.
Yeah.
Like, what is he thinking? Is this what he wants or what he doesn't want?
Indifference intensifies.
We just don't
know. He looks slightly displeased, but I don't know.
Maybe it's a positive thing. I don't know. Maybe that's what we're supposed to think. Very well done, John Barrowman. It's very cryptic.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Felicity's mom coming to say goodbye at Consolidated. She's leaving, but the mom's like, oh, you probably don't want to hang out with me. And then Felicity acknowledging this idea that, yes, she hasn't been appreciative of her mother, but she does love her, and she gets her strength. So that's cool.
Yeah.
In this episode, mom finally changed. This is the only other outfit she wears, is this pink dress. She wore a blue dress and a pink dress.
Yeah.
Oh, and Felicity's kind of compliments it. These colors are great. Gosh, the color palettes on this shirt, on this show, are really good. Although Felicity's shirt is almost a midriff shirt as well. It also kind of, I'm like, what's with all these midriff shirts? Is that like coming back?
That's the fashion thing of the moment. You know what? As long as all of those terrible pants that Laurel was wearing last season are gone.
Oh, those were terrible.
Oh my goodness. Pants. Just
oh, and worse. Then so, okay, Roy or Ray walking in here with the greatest complimentary, anyway, so him talking to the mom about the watch and saying it's a real lifesaver. I love that little, comes full circle, which is great. And Felicity faking that she's sick, which I think is great. That she just, they have a great power dynamic between Felicity and Ray, that he just, he knows, obviously, what she's doing, so it's just super cute.
This is second favorite moment in the episode, where he looks at his, his stuff.
Algorithms. On his little iPad.
And that's actually pretty genius. He's just talking about himself.
It's so great.
And we go from that wonderful lighthearted scene to this ridiculous, this
terrible, like, what is this? This is just Roy throwing arrows at Sarah. And
so the thing that makes that interesting is that, as far as we know, he's been cured of the Mirakuru, right?
Yeah.
But that was very clearly him using his super strength.
Yeah. Yeah, because he was throwing arrows at her. Yeah, he wasn't throwing them at her. Right, like that's a Mirakuru thing.
Yeah, so next week's episode is going to be all about this.
A brain explosion. I just don't even... Ugh. Anyways, I have no words. I just don't have them.
Yeah. So how are we going to deal with this ridiculous shocker of an ending? Because it like
super shocking.
That it totally threw me as much like there were two great twists in this episode.
Yeah.
When we reveal that Felicity's mom is an integral part of the plot of the episode, which at first we just thought, like, oh, this is
Felicity's mom.
Like, this is just going to connect it to the past somehow, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Just like her mom showing up and this virus are kind of just dredging up old memories.
Yeah.
But no, it actually turned out, unknown to us, that it was a super important part of the plot.
Yeah.
And then right at the end of the episode, when we think we're free and clear, nope, in classic Eros fashion, just this ridiculous reveal. This ridiculous reveal that Roy is having dreams that he killed Sarah.
Yeah.
Which just makes me unable to wait for next week. I think the internet phrase is that I cannot even.
I cannot even. Yeah. Yes. I cannot even.
I can't, because it's just like that. I want to know so badly right now
what's going
where
on.
This is going, who's manipulating Roy.
Or if he did kill her.
Or if he did kill
her. Like, maybe he just straight up killed her.
Well, maybe because he's got, like, a Jekyll Hyde thing going on. Maybe the Mirror Guru's still in him, right?
Maybe he is. He is half villain, half good guy, and they have to deal with that throughout the season. That could be an interesting thing.
Maybe he's the bad guy that's been pulling strings or something, right? Like,
and he didn't even know.
Yeah. I don't think that's the case. I think we're going to get a reveal of somebody else.
Yeah. Pulling strings and manipulating or something.
Yeah, and I think we're getting closer to the reveal of whoever our actual big bad for this season is. Because right now we don't have one, right?
Yeah.
Like, especially, at, like we said at the beginning of the episode, a lot of our predictions are usually on point. They're just, the timelines are off. So, as I had said a few episodes ago, I thought we would see Ra's al Ghul towards the mid-season break.
Yeah.
We've already seen him.
Yeah.
Like, that cat's out of the bag. Yeah. We know, like, we've seen his face.
Yeah.
Even for a minute there, it seemed like we were going to get like a sort of non-reveal.
Yeah,
of him.
Where we wouldn't see him.
Yeah, and then they showed his face, and it was like, nope, that's a straight up reveal of Ra's al Ghul. I thought that was coming mid-season.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
Four episodes in.
Yeah.
So that means that there is going to be some sort of a crazy reveal mid-season.
Yeah.
I think it'll end up being whoever our actual nemesis is for the second half of the season. And at the moment, the thing that I love is that I have no idea who it is. I have no idea. And, like, they've already cast somebody. They're already shooting something.
Yeah.
We just don't know. We're in the dark at the moment, and that's kind of nice. Because it's nice when an episode of Arrow can throw us for a loop. Which they, I mean,
they
let's be honest,
do.
They do on that's a regular good. Basis.
That's good. I like it.
And I'm going to say, because Hannibal is not currently on the air, and because Game of Thrones is not currently on the air, that makes Arrow the best show on TV right now. Right? Like, I for those who haven't watched Hannibal,
it's
highly recommended by me.
Yeah.
You have to want to watch that show if it's not your thing. If charming serial killers isn't your thing, it's not for you. But man, that's such a good show. But those are the only two shows that I would put above Arrow.
Interesting.
And that's saying something, because I think, first of all, Hannibal is a 13-episode season, and Game of Thrones is a 10-episode season.
Right.
And both of those shows have much higher budgets.
Right.
And they are on gigantic cable TV station with HBO and one of the major networks with NBC,
right?
So you're gonna sort of expect an inherent caliber difference.
Yeah.
But for, I think for Arrow to be on the CW, to be working with the kind of budgets that they're gonna be working with, being on the CW, and to manage to sort of rise above that by just writing the best stories on TV. Like, the places where I think shows like Hannibal and Game of Thrones exceed Arrow is purely in production value.
Interesting.
Purely. Yeah. Like, that's it. That's the only place, like...
Yeah.
Like, Hannibal's the best shot anything...
Oh, okay.
Nice. ...being made right now. Have you watched any
of
it?
No.
So, it visually is better than half of the movies that you'll see. Like, it's incredible what they pull off. It's all on Netflix.
Yeah, it could be because the first of the budget stuff, right? Like, that is the thing, right?
Yeah.
Where the CW has, like, no money.
Yeah.
Comparatively to, like, other things.
But what they managed to do with the budget that they have...
Yeah.
And the fact that, like, I think with Supernatural, they play into their budget a lot with the way that they write the episodes, the way that they write the series.
Yeah.
It's always been like sort of that road,
like
they're on the road story, and they're constantly reusing sort of the same areas and constantly shooting by the side of the road so that they don't have to pay anybody.
Well, they still have to
Yeah, they don't have to pay for, you know, using a house. Loss of business and that sort of thing. But, like, they play into that lower budget, but I think Arrow, and I'm seeing it with Flash, I mean, with last week's episode of The Flash, with the sequence on the train.
Yeah.
Like, first of all, the train derailing was crazy enough for special effects, and then to have him super speeding into the train and, like, saving everybody, and so, like, that's real, legit superhero stuff.
Yeah.
And they did, like, they did the bullet time, they did the super speed, they did the explosions and the pyrotechnics. They did everything that we would expect in, like, a season premiere, season finale of Smallville. And that was just, you know, fourth episode of the season. Yeah. Like, we're not even getting into the exciting stuff yet for The Flash. But I think with both shows, what they're doing is, because they know that they can't do that every episode, and they can't be, they can't compete with you know, craziness and armies battling on Game of Thrones and the incredible production value of a show like Hannibal. They can't compete with that. So what do? Like, they save it for the moments when it's going to count, like Mirakuru armies fighting in the in tunnels. And when they can't do that, they make up for it with the best writing on TV. Like, I think like the best original storytelling that's going on right now. Because Hannibal is very much based on existing novels, so they're pulling from something, right? But
this is based on a comic book.
But it's not.
But I know.
But
yeah,
it's not,
know,
right?
Know,
like
know,
like
but,
this
yeah.
this episode. Yeah, there were references to things, but the plot of this episode, the plot
matters.
Of this season, it's uniquely Arrow.
Right?
Season one, maybe not as much. Season one was basically 23 episodes of Batman Begins, but but you know, that said, it was still, it had its own quirks and stuff. But definitely with last season and this season, because they've deviated so much from the comics, it's its own thing. And I would consider it original storytelling.
Yeah.
But
it's cool. It's awesome.
Yeah. But I think that's it. I think we've talked this episode as much as we can.
A lot of talking. I might go home and rewatch the opening scene with Felicity. And actually, that whole opening beat, all the fights and then up until the mom coming. So great.
Cool. Well, that's it, and we're all done for this week. But you guys can stay up to date with all the latest and greatest Arrow news by checking out quiverpodcast.com. That's our home on the internet, where Tim keeps everything updated, and if you want to watch, you know, the latest clips and stuff as they're released, that's the best place to go. And you can also follow us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/quiverpodcast and on Twitter at quiverpodcast.
Like almost Quiver Podcast everything, hey?
Yeah.
You can also email us mail@quiverpodcast.com if you have things that you want us to talk about on the show and have cool suggestions about what you think is going on with Roy.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting. I want to know if people actually think Roy killed. Let's place your bets now.
Let's
what do you think?
Going.
And then who do you think it would be if it's not Roy?
Yeah.
Like, is Slade coming back? And maybe, like, I don't know what's going on. Don't guess that. It's probably not true.
That would be crazy, though.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I think that's it for this episode. Thank you guys for listening, and we will catch you next week for the episode that I don't know the title of.
Sorry. In the meantime, we can plug our Twitters.
I don't know. Yeah, my Twitter is Arkwulf, A-R-K-W-U-L-F.
And I'm Akonkin, A-K-O-N-K-I-N. And you can join us next week for Guilty.
Guilty.
That's what it is with...
Should have known because of the
because of the big blood Guilty.
Cool. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Stay sharp, Arrowheads.
watching right now that you really like?
The Flash.
Oh, yeah.
That's about it. Jeez. I don't know. This season is rough. It's a lot of lukewarm feelings.
Yeah.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine just finally came back again. Like, it had its series premiere and then was off the air for, like, 2 or 3 weeks and is finally back again.
Cool.
Oh, it must have been the World Series. That's what it was. That's when none of the Fox shows were on yet. Is that baseball? Yes, the World Series is baseball. Yeah. Jeez, what are we watching this season?
Are you caught up catching up on Supernatural?
No, I'm nowhere near caught up on Supernatural.
Me either.
There's always a coaster there.
I know, I didn't see it because that is on it, so I moved to coaster.
Yeah.
I want coasters now because I got a new table that has actual like surfaces that I want to protect.
That you don't want to protect. Jeez.
What's not terrible? New Girl. I really disliked it.
New Girl. They found. They figured out what was wrong, which is that they had Nick and Jess. Like, they put a romantic element into it. Right?
Yeah.
And so now that Schmidt and Cece are not a thing,
and
Nick and Jess are not a thing, and nobody's trying to be in a relationship, they're all just being like
themselves.
Whatever, I guess they're Nick not even, like 30 somethings just hanging out in the loft all the time.
Cece and Schmidt should get together. I love them.
They will eventually, I think.
But that does make it that anyway. So I stopped
watching it. The show.
So I stopped watching it and deleted it all of my TiVo because I was I don't want to watch this. It's stupid. But then I just caught up. I just watched an episode after Nick and Jess had broken up, and it was like actually watchable. And so I watched a bunch of the other ones. But that's because I deleted them off my TiVo, but I didn't actually stop recording the episodes for some reason.
Yeah.
So I caught up on a few of those. I don't know if they were from this year though. Maybe they're from last year. But yeah, that wasn't terrible. Supernatural, I'm just so behind because I can't watch it by myself. Same with Walking Dead.
I mean, I'm watching Sleepy Hollow, but I'm watching Sleepy Hollow slowly. Crystal and I really enjoy Selfie. I don't know if you've continued watching it.
No. Did it get better?
Well, we liked it from the beginning.
Wow.
Pretty much everything else that we like is getting canceled.
Crazy.
Already. Because we really like Manhattan Love Story. It's very...
Well, I've never heard of that.
That's probably why it's getting canceled.
Mm-hmm. What channel is it on?
I think it was NBC. It was basically... Like, it is exactly what it is. Manhattan Love Story. It's about a guy and a girl in Manhattan who
fall in love.
Right. The shtick was that you could hear their thoughts, which got a little bit... Like, that gets old really fast. But... but she is fantastic. Annalee Tipton, I think, is her name. I guess she was like on Top Model or something like that.
No idea.
And ended up being in some movie, and then what was she in? She was in Warm Bodies. Did you see Warm Bodies?
I did. Yeah.
Awesome movie, by the way.
Right?
Such a
weirdly,
good
movie. I wasn't. You know, it's Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
Eh?
Yeah.
What? Which was so, you don't realize?
So stupid. Trailer comes out, and I see it, and I'm like, oh, it's Romeo and Juliet, but he's a zombie. That's clever. That's fun. And then, like, so much time passes, and eventually Crystal and I watch it when it's, like, free, on-demand, Central, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So we sit and we watch it one night, and we are three-quarters of the way through the movie. Like, he's in their camp, or, like, the survivor camp.
Yeah,
and
it's
I
the
go,
balcony scene.
And I go... How did I forget that?
Like, how silly, right? And you're like, the ex-boyfriend is like named Perry or something, and you're like, oh my gosh, this couldn't be more like, until the balcony scene, though, you're like...
Her friend, her like best friend that she talks to, that's Annalee Tipton.
Oh, okay.
I think that's her name.
Oh, wait, like the chick from...
she's adorable.
Wasn't she in Crazy Stupid Love?
Yes, and she's in Crazy Stupid Love.
I like her.
Yeah.
Crazy Stupid Love is great.
She just has this great charisma. Like, she just has this great personality that comes through on screen. So I was really enjoying the show because of her. I hated everybody else on the show.
Yeah.
The guy was okay, but he was a little bit...
Interesting.
I don't know. It got canceled for a reason.
Yeah.
Because it was really sloppy, lazy writing. Yeah. It was like, what's the easiest A to Z?
Right.
And then A to Z got canceled as well. but what's the simplest, like, point-to-point romantic comedy that we can write on TV?
Right.
And then let's throw a shtick in there so that it's its own thing.
Right, yeah.
But, like, the fact that it is called
Manhattan Love Story
shows you that, like, there's no integrity behind it. They just lucked out with a couple of decent cast members and then her.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, that's why it got picked up. It got picked up because of her. So she'll land on her feet. She'll end up in something else because somebody will have seen that and gone, she's leading lady material.
Nice,
she should be in romantic comedies, but give her a little bit more than she had in that. Because she was your standard, I'm a strong, independent woman, but I can't seem to keep myself together. The first episode, like on their first date or whatever, she has an emotional breakdown because she just moved to New York and everybody in her office hates her. So she's crying and upset or whatever. And like, it just, I don't know. Like, I feel like the characters, both him and her, especially in the pilot, were just these really generic, atypical, typical male-female tropes. It's like all those things that people put in their dissertations about TV tropes.
Yeah.
It's like these are the personifications of those characters. And it's like a character is allowed to have one or two tropes, right? But then everything else should be a personality trait, right?
It
should be a unique thing because we have to have touchstones. But if you're not, if it's not Star Wars, then.
Yeah.
Right, like if you're not doing something that is literally the hero's journey, then stay away from archetypes. Right, like you pick an archetype, like you take Schmidt, right, in New Girl, which like he's supposed to be the uptight, fastidious guy, but then you throw in like everything else about his character is like antithetical to that, right? He's so fastidious about language that he's an idiot, so he's wrong, right? So he says all of his words are like if you read them on the page and you didn't know the word, you had no basis, you'd be like, that's how you say that, and then he just goes with it, right?
Yeah.
Because he's like so arrogant that it's like you can't correct it.
I love too that he like is relatively good with women.
Yeah.
His entire office hates him.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's the only
yeah.
Guy.
So I love that aspect
like
of
so
his character
good.
That like they flip because the easy thing to write there is that
he works
in an ad agency
and
he's top dog
and
it's a bunch of guys and it's it's Mad Men but today.
Yeah.
But instead what do you get? You get him and he's like his ideal is like I work in the office in Mad Men. That's what I because like the one episode where he's like it's a 1-to-1 recreation of Don Draper's office in like a closet, right? Like there was season 2
okay.
when they came to his office the first time they saw his office.
Oh,
it was in the little and it was supposed to be like a 1-to-1
right,
recreation of Don Draper's office. But in truth, like he's this just like totally walked over dude in an all female office, and it's like that's fun, right?
Funny.
Because like not only are you making some statements by being subversive, but you're also giving us like at the same time that it's subversive, it's also really easy to connect with, because it's actually what we're used to seeing a lot of female characters like in that situation. But instead we're flipping it on its head, so like there's a touchstone that you can relate to, but then we're also talking about something else, right? So it's and then it's fun to laugh at it because it's like, well, ha ha, that's what you get because you know the patriarchy is dying. So I don't know, like, you can do stuff like that, but I don't feel like there's any shows that are, this season, that are doing anything exciting, other than The Flash. Like, I feel like The Flash is really, like, The Flash is putting a superhero TV show on every week, and it's doing a great job. I've only watched the first episode of Constantine, and it was kind of meh, but they retooled after the pilot, so.
Oh, did they?
So I'm interested,
one of the
girl. The whole pilot is based about the girl, built on like, and then the end of the episode, the last scene is like his buddy, his undead buddy, the undead cabbie guy comes in and is like, yeah, so she left, but she did that bleeding thing on the map so that you can say she does like a dowsing.
It's
thing.
What she was supposed to do.
Yeah, and like yeah, like their freak of the week is like, but she did this, and so here's the map with everything on it, and she left. It's like okay, but they replaced her with another
like same person.
Like, yeah, right, like yeah. They just replaced her with a different girl, which I feel like you're like These batteries are dead. Give me those half-dead batteries over there, and we'll put them in and see if that changes anything. It's like, no, you're just replacing one problem with another problem. Not to say that, like, a female character is the problem, but, like, but it was that idea that, there's so many shows this season.
If you
season,
could
I
replace
think,
the person with just, like, a generic person,
yeah,
then
it's,
you're not a
it's,
character.
It's this problem that we're just, a lot of the shows this season seem like they are very paint by numbers. Mm-hmm. So it's like the mystic girl that is out of her element but is the key to everything. Mm-hmm. It's like that. I feel like that's a trope, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's and it's a really lame, boring trope that's been done mm-hmm. to death, right? Mm-hmm. Of like because it is like that is objectifying a person, not sexually, but like beyond that. It's like you are literally the MacGuffin. You are the Ark of the Covenant in this story. Your sole purpose is to just sit there and be like, turn left, I guess.
Yeah.
Right? Like Constantine's the hero.
Yeah.
But he's got to have a plucky female sidekick who's out of her element in order to make it a thing. Right? Like, I don't know. It's just kind of...